And ladies, please take these tulips. They will just die throughout the week, so take them home. My wife has some paper towels, so you can take them out and wrap each bunch and just take as many as you want. And I think there was one other thing I was supposed to announce, but it's totally gone. So let's turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And let's read verses 25 and 26. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the time that we have to open your word, to meditate upon it, and think about the importance of the resurrection. And we'll just look to you now for guidance in Jesus' name. Amen. Here the Lord spoke to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. They were discouraged, and he rebukes them for being slow of heart to believe all that was in the Old Testament. The whole Old Testament, Jesus said, was all about him. And they were slow to believe what the Old Testament said about his death and his resurrection. And so this is how the Lord Jesus described the heart condition of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and it was true of most of the other disciples at that point. They were slow of heart to believe what the prophets had said about his death and resurrection and what he had said about his own death and resurrection. And one of the reasons was that the disciples were not inclined to believe in Christ's resurrection. In Matthew chapter 17 and verse 21, we read there that it says, Jesus began to teach his disciples about his death and resurrection. So that was in Matthew chapter 17. He's beginning to tell them. He's just hinting at it at first. He tells them, but this is the beginning of it. And this was really pretty much the end of his ministry, time-wise. Most of the 3.5-year ministry that the Lord served and the disciples served with him, he was silent. Jesus was silent about his death and resurrection for most of that time. And so Matthew 17 marks a new phase in his ministry, and he gave them this new revelation that he was going to die and be raised again. And we know Peter's reaction in verse 22. Peter said, be it far from you, Lord. So Peter wasn't expecting the Lord to die and to be raised again. And you know, as human beings, it's understandable why Peter might think that, why he would react that way. He loved the Lord. He didn't want the Lord to die. He didn't want the Lord to leave them behind. And yet, in spite of Peter's affection for the Lord, he was really showing doubt of his word. And in fact, he was denying it. The Lord said, I'm going in, I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to be raised again. And Peter said, may it never be. The disciples were very slow to believe on the resurrection of Christ. And one reason is, most of the time they ministered together, Jesus never said a word about it. And in addition to the fact that Jesus hadn't told them until near the end of his ministry, for the most part, till the end of his ministry, the theology that these men had been groomed with gave them every reason to believe that Jesus was the Messiah and that he would never die, that he would live forever. It never entered their mind. They believed he was the Messiah, and it never entered their mind that he would be killed and then raised again. Daniel said of the Messiah in Daniel chapter 7, in that wonderful passage where we read about the Messiah and his kingdom. And there, Daniel said that the Messiah would rule forever. So when Messiah came, the believing disciples expected him to rule forever. In Psalm 89, where we have the promise of David, the promise that God made, his covenant, and there's a whole psalm about how faithful God is to keep his covenant. And there, David assured us that his seed, the Messiah, would reign forever and ever. And then we have the words of Isaiah the prophet, when he spoke of the coming, the birth of that son, the child that was given, who was the mighty God. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. So that's what these disciples were taught. That's what they believed. It was scriptural. They assumed that when Messiah comes, he's going to live forever and reign forever. And all the apostles knew these passages. They were very well familiar with them. And so it seemed to them like they had good reason to not even consider the fact that Jesus would possibly die and be raised again. And besides that, they were slow to believe because Jesus was not preparing them for his death and resurrection for most of his ministry. Jesus prepared his disciples for the kingdom, that Messiah would come and that he would establish his kingdom. And that was the message of John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that meant to them, it could happen. It was imminent. It could happen at any moment. And John identified with Jesus Christ, he identified Jesus as the one who should come, the Jewish Messiah King. And when he comes, Messiah will reign forever and ever, if the nation would repent. And that's what Jesus preached in Matthew chapter 4. There we see Jesus preaching the same message as John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. It could happen any moment. And the Lord in Matthew 10 sent his apostles out to preach the same message. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It could happen at any moment. So John, then Jesus, then the 12, then the 70, they were all sent out. And the message was that the kingdom was imminent. It could take place at any time if Israel would repent. And you remember the announcement of the angels at the birth of Christ in Bethlehem. It says, and he shall reign, the angels announced, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob, and what's the next line? Forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And so there was no thought in the minds of the disciples for most of the ministry of the Lord Jesus. It was unimaginable that he was going to die and that resurrection was even a consideration. None of the disciples were expecting that. They were expecting the kingdom at any time and that he would reign forever and that they would reign with him. And so it's perfectly understandable why the disciples would be perplexed when Jesus began to teach them in Matthew 17 that he was going into Jerusalem, he'd be turned over to the elders, they would have him crucified, and on the third day he would rise again. That's not what they understood the Old Testament to say. It seemed contrary to the message that Jesus was preaching. It seemed contrary to the message that Jesus told them to preach, and it didn't fit with their theology that the Messiah King is coming and he's going to reign forever. He's not going to die. And they were unable to harmonize these thoughts, these truths from the Old Testament with what Jesus began to teach them. He was going to die and rise again. Seemed contradictory to everything they had been taught. And so Peter, along with the other apostles, were slow to believe what the prophets wrote about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, and let's begin reading in verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with them. So here we have the account of the transfiguration. And Peter, James, and John are there. And they saw with their own eyes Elijah and Moses. They saw with their own eyes men that they knew had died centuries ago, but now they see them, they speak with them, and they're very much alive. Now, Mark tells us in this same account, his version of this same account, that after the transfiguration, the Lord Jesus told his disciples not to tell anybody what they saw until after he was raised from the dead. And that caused them great confusion, great perplexity. They didn't grasp what he meant about his resurrection. Now, they understood the concept of resurrection from the Old Testament, but that he was going to be raised from the dead puzzled them. It didn't fit what their thinking was concerning the Messiah King. Even though the Lord Jesus just gave them an amazing vision of two men who had been dead for centuries, and yet they were very much alive on that mountain. And still, these disciples were slow to believe in the resurrection. There was one account early on in his ministry where the Lord Jesus hinted at his resurrection. And let's turn there. Turn to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. And verse 19. And Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spoke of the temple of his body. So here the Lord Jesus spoke in language that wasn't understood initially. He was speaking about they would destroy his body and he would raise it up again in 3 days. They thought he was talking about the temple. They didn't get it at the time. In verse 22, and it says, when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. They didn't get it at the time, but after his resurrection, with hindsight, they looked back and they remembered his words that puzzled them then, and it made perfect sense to them. They understood, but they were slow throughout the gospel period to believe in the resurrection. We have an account in Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 31. Where it says, then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written in the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spit upon, and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and on the third day he shall rise again. Now that's pretty plain language. But then it says, and they understood none of these things. How could they not understand? It's plain language. It's simple. It wasn't complicated. It wasn't flowery, figurative language. It was straightforward, but somehow none of them understood that. And it said, because the saying was hidden from them. So there were certain things that were hidden from their understanding at the time, and one of them was that he was going to die and be raised again. A part of the blindness may be due to the fact that they were prejudiced in some ways. They had a vested interest in the kingdom being established because they were going to sit on thrones next to the Lord Jesus, and they were hoping that it would be established soon. And they had a vested interest seeing the grip that the Roman Empire had over Israel be destroyed by the Messiah King as well. And so these men were inclined towards believing that the kingdom was right around the corner, and they were not inclined to believe that he was going to die and be raised again on the third day. And you recall in Matthew chapter 21, at the triumphant entry of the Lord Jesus into Jerusalem, and on that day, the Lord Jesus, in fulfillment of prophecy, entered into the city on a colt, and he offered himself to the people. He presented himself to the people as the Messiah King. And no doubt the apostles were on cloud nine that day, thinking that this nation, if they'll just receive him and believe on him, the kingdom will start, and they would have those high positions. And certainly the disciples were hoping that the people would respond. Some did, but not the religious leaders. The message of the apostles, their hope, their dreams, their prayer was, "Thy kingdom come." Jesus rides into Jerusalem. He offers himself to the people and gives them one more opportunity to repent and to receive him, and the kingdom would be established. But instead, they chose not to repent, and they went into their corners and plotted how to put him to death. The disciples, the Jewish people, the Jewish leaders were slow to believe in his death and his resurrection. And then after he died, and before his resurrection, the disciples were discouraged. They had their hearts set on a kingdom. They'd been preaching that for the last 3.5 years. The nation didn't respond as they had hoped. And they turned Jesus over to the Romans to be crucified. And they shouted, "Let him be crucified." And even though Jesus had been hinting at the fact that he would be crucified and raised again, he then came out and said it in plain language. And even after saying it in plain language, they were still slow to believe because their hopes were dashed. And they seemed very disillusioned and discouraged. The women came to the tomb, and the angel spoke and said, "He is risen, as he said." And then when the women heard those words, they remembered his words, how he said he was going to be crucified, that he would die and be raised again on the third day. So it clicked first with these women. But when they came back and told the apostles said they thought this was just an idle tale, and they believed not. The apostles were slow to believe. In John chapter 20, the disciples told Thomas that Jesus rose from the dead, and Thomas was extra slow to believe. The apostles were assembled together. Thomas wasn't there. And the Lord Jesus appeared to the disciples when Thomas wasn't there. And then on another occasion, Thomas was with the disciples, and he was still very slow to believe in the resurrection. In fact, the disciples said they saw him, and Thomas says, "I will not believe until I actually see the nail prints in his hands." And Jesus appeared, and Thomas's doubts were cured. Remember those two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus? The Lord appeared to them too after his resurrection, and their hopes were dashed. They heard of the death of Christ, and they lost hope. They felt defeated and abandoned and discouraged. Their hopes were dashed. And then they told the Lord, the traveler who was the Lord, their eyes were closed at that time, they told him that they heard some people saying that he was alive. And so at this point, it was still an unsubstantiated rumor in their minds, the resurrection of Christ. And these men were discouraged, and it seemed like their faith in Christ was all for nothing because he died. And that's when Jesus said to these disciples, "You fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said." Now, he could have said all that I said, but he said all that the prophets have said. It's been on the record for hundreds and hundreds of years. You should have known. But they didn't. They didn't believe the scriptures. But you know, these very men who were slow to believe in the resurrection, they came around. And look, let's turn there to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And look in verse 31. As the Lord spoke to them, it says, "And their eyes were opened, and they knew him," they recognized him. And as soon as they recognized who Jesus was, when he appeared to them, he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared unto Simon." And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. And so we see these men who were discouraged, they became convinced. And once they were convinced that that person, that stranger that was sharing, teaching them through the Old Testament, once they realized who he was, their hearts burned. They were changed. They were transformed. And they were lifted up. They were encouraged. And they said that Christ is risen. And so here were men who were discouraged. They became convinced, and instead of being down in the dumps and discouraged, their hearts were lifted up and they were full of joy and excitement. And you know, the same thing happened to Thomas. In John 20, he said, "Except I see, I will not believe." And so Jesus appeared so he could see. And then Jesus spoke to Thomas in verse 27, and he rebuked him for his unbelief. And what was Thomas's response? "My Lord and my God." God put him in his place. He recognized who Jesus was. He was finally convinced of the resurrection. Yes, this is Jesus. It's my Lord. I know him. And he died. I know that. And now he's alive. He was raised from the dead. And so Thomas was on fire. The disciples from on the road to Emmaus were on fire after they became convinced of the resurrection. They heard, but they didn't believe. But once they believed and were convinced, they were transformed. And we know what happened to the Apostle Paul. He was on the road, not to Emmaus, but the road to Damascus. And Paul didn't believe who Jesus was. He opposed Christ. He opposed Christians. He was arresting Christians. He was persecuting them. He was imprisoning them. Until he saw a vision of the resurrected, the risen Lord Jesus Christ in glory. And he fell down. And he said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" So here was Saul of Tarsus, perhaps at that time Christianity's greatest opponent, who rejected the concept of the death and resurrection of Christ as the Messiah. But once he became convinced of it, He became the greatest proponent of Christianity, and he risked his life to preach Christ all around the known world. He preached Christ and him crucified and risen again. So when Paul became convinced of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he was a new man. He was energized, he was changed, he was transformed forever. And we see this of the rest of the apostles. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul and the other apostles, the Lord Jesus appeared to many, over 500 at once. He appeared to all the apostles at once. He appeared to a few individuals. And these men gave up everything and risked their lives to preach the gospel unto the uttermost parts of the earth because they were convinced beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is alive. They knew he died, and they were convinced that he was alive, that he rose from the dead. Do you know one of the liberal arguments is against the Bible? One of their arguments is for not believing. It's really an excuse. And some have the audacity to say that, yes, the apostles believed that Jesus did rise from the dead, but they had very flimsy evidence. And they were really, they loved this man so much, they were willing to believe anything. On the flimsiest amount of evidence, these men were so inclined to believe that he was going to live forever that they actually believed it. But we've just seen that these men were not inclined to believe that Jesus was going to die and be raised again. They weren't expecting it to happen. Peter said, "No way, Lord. Let that never happen to you." And even after Christ died, they were very reluctant to believe the reports of his resurrection. And then they heard the reports of the resurrection. Some were still skeptical. Some were discouraged because they didn't believe. And Jesus rebuked them for their unbelief, like Thomas, after the resurrection. No, these men were not inclined to believe in the death and resurrection of Christ. That was not in their thinking at all. The Lord had to correct their thinking. And the Lord Jesus appeared to men time and time again. And finally, there was an army of men who were, and women and children, who were finally convinced that Jesus, the one they knew died, the one who claimed to be the Son of God, he is alive. He did rise from the dead. And many in that first century were willing to risk everything, to spend and to be spent, to preach Christ. And they did so with great conviction because they knew he was alive. And so the resurrection changed those men completely from discouraged skeptics to rejoicing believers, dedicated, sold-out believers. And you know, the news of resurrection Christ can have the same effect on men today. His resurrection can still turn men who had been skeptics, maybe unbelievers. And God's word and God's spirit convicts the heart of sin. And the one who becomes convinced that Jesus is the Son of God, that he did die for the sins of the world, and that he is alive, he rose again, God can use those men and that great conviction of the resurrected Christ to preach Christ unto the uttermost parts of the earth today as well. And we see missionaries following the Lord's guidance. None of that would happen apart from the resurrection. So we thank God for the revelation that we have. We don't need to see the risen Christ. In fact, what we have in the written record is more than an eyewitness account. Eyewitness accounts, as good as they are, sometimes they're wrong. They thought they saw something and they didn't. But our faith rests upon God's word, and it's never wrong. So we have a living Savior, and if we let that really sink in, it can transform our lives as well. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the truth of it. And Lord, we thank you that we have a living Savior. He's alive. And God, we pray that we would live in the consciousness of that fact day by day, aware of your presence, aware of your life in glory and your coming again, and that fact that you dwell in us. And Father, we pray that we might be conscious of your presence day by day, and that that would affect the way we think, the way we walk, and the way we talk. And we pray that we might be bringing this good news to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.